Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Raw Talk Radio with your host, Osman Shabazz.
Everybody to Oz's Raw Talk Radio. This is Osman Shabazz bringing you another episode, and today we have a special guest, which is Mayor Baraka. The show is really interesting in the sense that this is an election time, and during an election, things get really heated, and there are all types of accusations thrown back and forth as the person that is the incumbent, which is Mayor Baraka, is basically making his case for the progress of Newark and why he should be reelected. And his opponent is doing everything that she can in this particular case, Gail Cheney Phil Jenkins, to try to make her case as to why she should be mayor. There's a lot of things going on in Newark and a lot of progress. And for some people say there's not enough progress. But when you really look at it, it depends on what your perspective is. And we all know that there was certain things happening and when the mayor took office in 2014. He took office when the city had laid off a whole lot of cops and things were pretty much tough. They had a budget deficit. So there were a lot of challenges when the mayor took office. So right now I'm waiting for the mayor to get with us, but in the meantime, I'm going to go ahead on and see, we got a caller here. Let me see what the caller wants to say, and we'll take it from there as I wait for the mayor to call in. Hello, caller, this is Osman Shabazz. How's everything going?
My name is Shelton. I just wanted to reach out to you and tell you, how proud I am of what you're doing. And, it's just a wonderful thing to see the progress that you're making and the lives that you're changing and what you're trying to do in the community. And I just want to salute you, brother.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. So, again, that was Shelton. What's your last name again?
Hunter.
Yeah, Shelton Hunter. Hunter. Right. Yes, thanks for calling in. There is a lot of things. As we all know that I was once an opponent of Mayor Baraka, but after seeing all of the progress and all of the good things happening, I joined the team and I'm working harder now than ever before to make sure that he gets reelected.
Yeah.
So
he's going to be at the National Action Network convention this week. I'm blessed to have a press pass. Hopefully I'll be able to see him there. Just the mere fact of having him on and your journey is inspirational to me, man. For real.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it has been a journey. Been on the radio for 4.5 years now. And I tell you, it has been a journey, but I'm most proud of what I'm doing now, though. And it's a positive show, and it brings different people on that are really influential folks that are really have power in Newark. So
yeah.
The people that I'm bringing on, thank God, and their opinions actually count. because they are the ones that's most likely going, you know, most of the people I've brought on are the front runners, and they're definitely the ones most likely to basically be in charge and actually make policies that's going to affect the people of Newark. So, so I'm pretty proud of that, Shelton. And I tell you, I'm going to just keep pressing on. You know, you have people out there that always want to basically try to pour cold water on your progress. That's just how folks are. You know what I'm saying?
Haters are motivators. Haters are my motivators. And when you're in the public eye and when you have a platform, I've learned that, you know, 90% of what you hear, you don't even listen to. It's only that 10%, and that 10% is between you and God.
And you're
the person who is funding you or supporting you or giving you the platform, you know. And if you're doing it yourself, then it's definitely between you and God.
Right. Yep. So, like I said, I'm very happy and very proud of this show. And hey, man, we're going to keep pushing. Thanks so much for calling in.
No question. I'll take care. God bless.
All right. How's it going, Rockman?
What's going on, Brother Oz? Do you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you. I'm waiting for the mayor to call in.
Was he still on the campaign trail with the school board?
Well, I know today's an election, and So I know he's, you know, he's been running around, but he said he's going to call in, so, you know, and do the show. So he just might have got caught up a little bit, but hey, you know, in the meantime, you know, we'll just wait and see what happens. So how is everything with the election? So we have a school board election today.
Yeah, I just actually went and voted for the team, so you know, if anybody here and you still got time to go out there and vote, turnout looks like it's going to be low. So
yeah, your phone is breaking up a little bit.
Hold on for a minute, Oz.
All right, sure.
You hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
All right, yeah. Take that off. So listen, yeah, school board election today, you know, it's still going on. Anybody can hear me at the sound of my voice that hasn't voted, should get out there and, you know, cast their vote. I supported the mayor's team, you know, and you know, that's what we asking everybody to support. But, you know, I don't want to make this show about politics. So, you know, this is just go out and vote, folks. You know, whoever you support, go out and vote. But hopefully you support whom the mayor and his team is supporting.
Well, the thing is, I've had all of the candidates on, and I tell you, they all have their unique qualifications. And the fact that they have the support of the mayor, that means something. That means that, you know, you're going to have folks cooperating to improve the quality of education, and they're going to go ahead on and, you know, fulfill their promise, you know, to make things better for the folks in Newark. Yeah.
Yeah, no question. It's a historic time. I mean, you know, we are actually in charge of the Board of Education now, so it gives us an opportunity to actually have control of our destiny and how we move the board moving forward. And so, hopefully the unity ticket that the mayor has put together, you know, they will be, you know, doing exactly what's needed as far as making sure the educational system is a sound educational system and productive, because I got to be honest with you, based on what I see in the workforce, we definitely need to make sure that we got a stable educational system in the city of Newark so that we can make sure we're preparing these kids for the jobs of the future.
Oh, absolutely. So we got local control now. So definitely everything now is within the power of people of Newark. no more state mandates, no more states dictating to you how you're going to educate your children and things of that nature. So the school board election is very, very important. And I tell you, I'm very excited, and I can't wait to see the outcomes, although I have a feeling I know how it's going to turn out. So I'm just going to kind of wait and see what happens with that. So in terms of, I know you're working with the job program. How's
yes.
that coming along?
Hey, well, we're moving along. We have just started back with the WOW vehicle. Started back last week. Going out into the community. I got a meeting with the labor secretary for the state coming up next week to talk about trying to create some additional programs and some resources so that we can train more residents in the city. I mean, you know, the reality of the matter is that NORC is the largest workforce department in the state. And we need to, you know, we got a lot of people. What people don't know is we have a lot of people leaving the public, the welfare roles and the public assistant roles, and they're now seeking jobs. What folks don't understand is that you really, in public assistant benefits, you only get 5 years. And so
right
now, a lot of the public assistant roles are going down, and people are now coming into the workforce office for training and for jobs. And so we need to make sure that funding is there to be able to train these individuals. And it's something that needs to be discussed, not just on a state level, but on a federal level, because I don't think anybody's having that conversation. I keep telling people we just can't sweep live people up under the rug and pretend like they don't exist. We have to provide the training and the resources for individuals to go into the workforce. We just can't kick them off of public assistance and then act like they don't no longer exist or they don't no longer need assistance. We're going to meet with the commissioner next week, and we're going to have a discussion about resources and the need that the city has when it comes to workforce development. And so we're moving
right
forward, brother. We got the 2020 program. We're getting the kinks out the system as regards to that. We have commitments from corporations as far as hiring NORC residents. I want to be clear because, you know, we want people to understand that's rather an entry-level position or a position going into one of the corporate suites. If you're qualified, we are opening the door for you to have the opportunity to be interviewed. But, you know, what people have to understand, once again, we cannot guarantee anybody a job. You have to prepare yourself to be interviewed and get ready for the workforce. All we can do is open the door for you.
Absolutely.
You know, the reason why I say that, too, is because the critics out there like to pretend as if they can guarantee individuals' jobs when, you know, that's the furthest thing from the truth. If many of them can do that, some of them who's unemployed would actually have jobs today. That, you know, just talk, you know, without anything to actually substantially back up what they're saying. The reality
right
of the matter is you have to be not just trained, educated, and ready for those employment opportunities. You have to also prepare yourself to be interviewed. First impression means a lot, and you have to sell yourself to that company to get hired. The city of NORC cannot do that for you. Nobody in workforce can do that for you. But what we can do and what we are doing is opening the door to make the contact for you, and that's what this program is about.
Right. Well, I know the mayor really took trying to help NORCers get jobs very seriously, and I know he hired
yes
you and Al Tariq. And not all the cities, they do it in a symbolic way, but I see that you guys are really, really working to try to help people improve their lives, get gainful employment, and teach them interviewing skills, teach them how to dress in order to go on interviews. And I tell you, that's great. I got a couple of callers here. Let me just see if they have anything to chime in or they're just waiting for the mayor. Hold on 1 second. 973-715-7403. This is Osman Shabazz. Do you have a question or a statement?
No, just listening.
Okay, thank you. Let me try this one, Rahman. 973-652-7331. Do you have a question or a statement?
I have a statement and a question.
Okay. Is this Pat?
This is Pat. Hi. Hello.
How you doing, Patricia? All right.
Okay. My question is, this mobile unit that goes around, that's phenomenal because people always had to get ready and go someplace else to try to find just an appointment to get a job. And, I see that there's some publicity around it, but often enough, people don't know what dates and times that the mobile unit will be in their area. So is it possible to have more advertisement around? I've seen on Facebook a little bit about it, but are there any other venues that you're using so that the general public can, who don't deal with smartphones or whatever, that, is there any kind of way to better get out information on where they can go and when they can go to what area of North?
I think that's for you, Rahman.
You want me to answer that? So Pat, we are utilizing the city's website. We're also, you said we are also utilizing social media. But I do think there is another avenue that I would like to use as Panel 78, to be honest with you. I'm in discussions now to try to have the schedule put out there on Channel 78 in regards to the wild vehicle. And to be honest with you, we've been leafleting areas that we go into, churches, community organizations, letting them know. We've also been asking community organizations, if anyone interested in the vehicle, to be at any one of their events. I'm even telling my staff now, like, we got a bunch of block parties that's going to be coming up during the summertime. If we got district leaders or block leaders that want the vehicle to show up during their block party, then I'm willing to actually pull it up during the block party. We want to do everything possible. I'm actually, to be honest with you, when I have my meeting with the commission, I'm actually trying to get a bigger vehicle. Because although I think this mobile vehicle is doing great for the capacity that it has, I think we need a much larger capacity. I really want a vehicle where we're able to actually do on-site training, actually have interviews on-site. And so I'm going to need an RV type of vehicle to be able to do that that work. And so I want to use the success of this smaller vehicle to convince people that we need a much larger vehicle to go out there into the community. And so any suggestions, Pat, that to put this information out, let people know, we're more than willing to listen.
Okay, well, oftentimes the fire department at the community relations, they are doing various activities throughout the city, festivals, different things like that, the health fair, they're doing walks, they march on children immunization, so those dates would be valuable for you to have so that your van can be at those locations, because a lot of the parents accompany their children, or the health fairs, there's a lot of adults that are being serviced, but if you could outreach to Chief Jackson, Anthony Ambrose, for them to send the order down for us to be able to contact your agency and let you know the dates and whatever of those activities, because this is non-political. This is for the community growth. And, yes. You know, just like they have the wagon for the health department, if you are made aware of those different things that the fire department is also having been invited to come to. So through the chain of command, to ask Anthony Ambrose and Chief Jackson, so community relations could be able to help share information on various activities that will occur throughout the city and see if that can be included in, you bring a fire truck, you might as well bring an employment truck too.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no problem with doing that. I'll reach out to Chief Jackson and get those dates.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Osmond. And your
yeah,
show
no
is
problem.
Wonderful, but I'm too waiting to hear from the mayor, and I might want to come back on and ask him a question. So I'll
that,
just
that's
hold.
Fine. Yeah, that's
okay.
Yeah, that's no problem with, at all with that. Today's an election, kind of got mixed up with the scheduling, and so he's going to call in sometime within an hour. That I'm sure of that, and we'll just patiently wait for him. Thanks a lot, Pat.
Thank you.
All right, Rockmai, I got another call. Let me see what they want.
Hello.
862-588-1671.
Yes. This is Osmar Shabazz.
This
is the mayor, man. How you doing? This is the mayor. I've been waiting for a long time, man.
I'm sorry. Your secretary gave me a different number, and I've been waiting.
Oh, yeah.
Because what I do is I flag that number. Hey, thanks a lot, man. How's everything going?
I'm good. Everything is
excellent.
Good, man.
All right. Beautiful. So listen, today is an election, and I tell you, we have local control now, and you got a beautiful slate. I've had all of them on the radio show.
Yes.
And I want you to explain to our audience the importance of this election and why you chose the people that's on your slate.
Well, you know, this is the first time in over 20 years that we get to pick a school board that actually has some real power and authority, that their rulings can't be vetoed by a superintendent, and they get to choose who the superintendent is going forward. And I think this is a diverse slate of folks. We have a real parent and community advocate there, an educator, a teacher, you know, and a person that is a kind of community organizer, labor organizer, and bilingual advocate as well. So I think that is a kind of diverse group that represents their community as a whole. And I think they're brilliant young women, and they're going to do an excellent job.
I concur. Based upon what I've seen in the interview, and I've gotten very, very positive feedback from literally every one of them, from the Asia interview, the Yambeli interview, as well as Dawn. And,
right.
And I tell you, I was very happy, and I let Dawn know we had private interchanges in terms of text after the show, and I let her know she did a great job, and she blew a lot of people away because she surpassed their expectations because of all of the haters out there trying to bring her down and bring her spirit down. But I think the whole slate is excellent, and I look forward to the election results tonight.
Yeah, I do too. It's going to be great.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about some of the progress and some of the things that have been made since 2014. I think one of the biggest shocks for a lot of people was how you were able to reduce crime, in particular, the murder rate.
Right.
I tell you, that's not an easy thing to do. Because you were doing it at the same time that you were building a police force. So tell me something, Mayor. How were you able to accomplish that? Because I believe it's somewhere the number 28 or 29 lower homicides than it was from last year. That's incredible. How did you get that accomplished?
Well, I think, first of all, we hired more police officers, so that's, you know, the most obvious way. And, you know, we have a group called the Safer Newark Council, that we put together with Rutgers, and they kind of look for data and analyze the data and help us create programs to respond to the violence and the crime that's happening. But at the same time, it helps the police know exactly where things are taking place at so they can put the police in the right areas. So it's more targeted kind of intervention and not this kind of thing that we used to do in the past where we just hire police officers and send them out in the street. So we know exactly where the issues are happening at, and we send police officers to those areas. And then we created organizations like the Newark Community Street Team, the Safer Newark, Safer Newark Council, Newark Street Academy, alternative things for around policing that help us deal with the community side of it, where they begin to resolve conflict, intervene early, you know, begin to attack some of these young people who are having issues, getting them GEDs, getting them opportunities for work. So it's a holistic kind of strategy that we've been using. All of that plus, you know, the grace of God, man. We've been working hard at this, and, you know, we've seen results, real results.
Right. Now, here's the funny thing about the crime statistics, and I know how the opposition plays. They believe the crime statistics. They don't question anything when it says that murders are up.
Right.
When those same methodology that says now that the crime has gone down, whatever, 27-28%, and you got 30 less homicides, and crime is really improving, and that you're hiring more cops, then all of a sudden those numbers become false. They become fake. But when they say bad things, the numbers are real. But when they say good things, the numbers are bad. How do you deal with that, Mayor Baraka?
Well, you know, this is a uniform crime report, so they can look at this stuff. I mean, this is not coming from the Newark Police Department. These are state and federal numbers, and we make it public, and the state and federal government responds to this. Plus, the folks that are saying that some of these are elected officials. They have subpoena power. They can call the public safety director before them, question them about the numbers, talk to them about what exactly went on, and get to the bottom of it if they think something is wrong here. That hasn't happened because they know that those numbers are real. I mean, when you add up all of the crimes that have been reported by the feds and the state, we are significantly lower. In fact, lower than we have been in 50 years. That's just real. I mean, it's nothing that we made up. Robberies have been down. Homicides have been down. Every single year they've been going down even more. That's just a real number. And they have the ability to check it out. You know, they could go check that out and challenge the public safety director on those numbers.
Absolutely. Here's another method that's not scientific or anything. On Facebook, they give you your feeds, you know, what happened to this, on this particular day going all the way back for 4 or 5 years, right? And I remember back in 2014, I would see all of these homicides and everything like in 15 or whatever the case is on the feed, and they say your memories and stuff. But I look at it day by day, and then I look on, like, real time. I said, things have improved because I'm not seeing all of this murders and all of these news reports. You know, once in a while we had a bad week when the guy got killed on Chancellor Avenue and Wainwright Street. That was an aberration. But I'm looking at all the feeds from past years versus what's happening this particular week and this particular day, and crime has gone down. And anybody who denies that, they're just trying to score political points. They're not dealing in reality, and they're not dealing with facts. And I personally want to applaud the fact that you've done that. I'm telling you, that was a major, major accomplishment, one that I knew would be hard to achieve. And when I saw those numbers, I was blown away, and I want to congratulate you, not just for me, but for my mother and father, sisters, brothers, all of the people that live in Newark who have told me with their own eyes that things have gotten better.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I mean, obviously, you can see that. I mean, obviously, we're not getting rid of all of the murders and all of the homicides. We're not at zero. I mean, it would be a miracle to be there. I mean, but we have gone down, and we want to continue to do that. And whenever that's working, we want to repeat what's working. We don't want to, you know, stray away from that. We want to continue what's working, add more resources to that, and move away from what's not working. And that's all we're doing. We're just employing best practices, and we're continuing to move in that direction. And so we don't, you know, we're not doing a victory lap here. We're not saying, oh, there's no murders, nobody is getting hurt, or there's no shooting. What we are saying, though, is things are improving, and they're improving considerably, and we need to continue to do what we've been doing.
Oh, absolutely, and that's good. And when I actually got into a Facebook war. I'm not going to even name the person. I'm not going to, you know, blast them and everything. But I said, how can you not say that 28 or 29 or 30 human beings that are more that are alive today that would not have been alive the previous year is not progress? How do you deny that 28 human beings are around? Basically, when you compare the numbers from last year, you know, and they basically had to shut up because
from 2013, you know, from 117 murders to the present day, you know,
exactly.
Which is a lot more. Yeah.
And here's the sad part, Mayor Baraka, that you may not want to believe. There are people who are political opponents. This is the sickness. They would rather see more African Americans and Latinos and other residents in Newark die. They would rather see that murder rate high and people's lives being lost just so
actually
they can score
for
political
it.
Points and rooting for it. I've seen it.
Rooting
I've
for
seen
it. Yeah.
And that's the sad state of affairs that we find ourselves in right now. And I tell you, that's pretty sad. So let's talk about Amazon. I know Gail Cheney-Phil Jenkins, and I think her name is Betsy Walker, something like that.
Yeah.
They have actually tried to criticize Amazon coming in, bringing 50,000 jobs, good-paying jobs, to Newark. And it's the same mentality. Just say, okay, you won that one. Just capitulate.
Yeah,
but they go as
they can't
as
do
to
that.
Even to even criticize you for working hard with the state, with Cory Booker, with other municipalities like East Orange and Hillside and Irvington, because they're going to benefit from it too. They criticize that. Could you explain what's going on and the benefits of Amazon potentially coming to Newark?
Well, you know, these are the same people who approved of the arena being built for $200-300 million, and they don't know how many Newarkers got jobs or what benefits the city is getting. Them being against Amazon is completely political. It's nothing more than that. I mean, the Amazon deal in Newark, Amazon has to invest $5 billion in growth and development in the city. In terms of their development, they're bringing with them 50,000 jobs. We met with them just recently. The 50,000 job number is real. They're trying to do that. And as a result of the 50,000 tech jobs, there'll be an additional 60 to 100,000 jobs created because of the 50,000 jobs that Amazon brings. So it not only helps Newark, it helps the entire region. And everybody around here knows that. I mean, the councils from Bloomfield, from Maplewood, different places around the state have written resolutions in support of Amazon coming to Newark because they know that has a benefit to their city as well. I mean, it's actually irresponsible to be opposed to somebody that wants to bring 50,000 jobs to your city without vetting it and discussing it and talking about it, right? So we did that. We're in the top 20 of that list of 250 cities or more that applied for that. Newark came out in the top 20, right? So we're proud of that, and we're going to continue to push. And we think we have a good opportunity to get Amazon to Newark, and we're going to do what we can to make it happen.
Right. One of the things that I've heard the opposition talk about is something to the effect that you're giving away $3 billion or $5 billion or some crazy number in order for Amazon to locate here. Could you please explain what's happening with that in terms of the tax breaks or the abatements or whatever the case is?
Right. So these are regular abatements that – so Gail herself sits on the tax abatement committee. She gives out more abatements than you can imagine, and these are abatements over time period. This is not a check that we're writing to Amazon, right? So these people get abatements over a period of years, just like any abatement a senior citizen building would get or any abatement any other residential apartment would get over 20 years. So we're telling them that they're getting this abatement over a long period of time. And as a result of that, they have to hire a certain percent of Newark residents. And part of that abatement is also a payroll tax abatement that I created that tell companies, because in the meantime, Newark is the only city in the state that has a payroll tax, where we tax the employee for hiring residents in our city, we tax them. So what we said before Amazon even came here is if your company hires 50% Newark residents, we'll reduce the price that you would have to pay in the payroll tax because the benefit to us would be Newark residents are being hired and it improve our quality of life here. So that's the same thing we offer in Amazon. Nothing special. That if you get a pay, if you have 50% of your employees are Newark residents, you'll be able to get an abatement. And we want 50% of 50,000, which is 25,000 Newark residents, to be hired. That's like incredible. If they can do that, we ought to give them an abatement.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Mayor.
No, that's exactly what it is, and we're going to continue to push for that to take place. So this is nothing special. We didn't create anything new. That's part of the abatement. The other stuff is the state. The state is giving Amazon tax credits as well, same tax credits they give through Choose New Jersey that usually gets companies to move from one place to another, same tax credits Panasonic got and other corporations got to come to or stay in New Jersey. They're giving those credits to Amazon as well to come here. But they have to hire New Jersey folks and invest in New Jersey economy in order for it to work. And so it's not giving anything away. It's a negotiation that we made to get our residents hired and to get them to invest in our businesses and our infrastructure in this city.
Right. And people forget that one of the things that President Obama did to spur the economy was to cut the payroll tax.
Right. Exactly.
And
exactly.
It's, like you said, it's not a unique thing. It's not nothing that only Mayor Baraka has done or tried to implement in the United States of America. This has been done on a federal level by the President of the United States cutting the payroll tax to spur the economy. And guess what? It worked.
Yeah, it worked. And we want to do that here in Newark.
Makes perfect sense to me. And what folks don't understand is that this is the pragmatic side of you. They don't understand that you're trying to create an environment for business that's attractive to them. And when businesses relocate, the long-term benefits of people being employed, businesses benefiting from more people with disposable income, all of that helps the city. And it's actually a greater benefit than whatever the initial loss is in terms of cutting the taxes.
Absolutely. They get to invest in smaller businesses that hire Newark residents that get to expand and stay open. And that's what we want. And those people pay taxes. You get Newark residents more money to get jobs, and that inadvertently reduces crime, gets people to invest or purchase or involve themselves in the economy locally, and it grows the city. That's exactly what happens, and we have to create that environment where Newark residents are actually paying into the economy and providing services. That's how we hire police officers, code enforcers, fix streets, buy equipment, shovel snow. All those services have to be paid for either by homeowners that pay taxes, businesses that pay taxes, or people paying into our economy.
Absolutely. So, Mayor Baraka, could you name some of the companies that have relocated to Newark? And besides the tax cuts and everything, why do you think they're relocating to Newark?
So you have Broadridge that has come to Newark, which is a financial tech firm. M&M Mars, the huge candy company, is moving to Newark. They've just reunited with Brickley's, and they're coming to Newark. They've come here. There's a host of kind of small businesses. The tortilla company moved out of New York, and they've come to me. The largest tortilla company in the nation has moved to Newark, built a warehouse, and has moved here. As well, these companies bring hundreds of jobs with them. They bring procurement dollars where they invest in small businesses locally in the city, and they bring some employees who also choose to live in the city and invest in our economy as well. And they come to Newark because we have a infrastructure. First of all, we have a tech infrastructure, 27 miles of fiber underground that we're leveraging. And people want to be a part of that. We have the best transportation infrastructure in this region, second largest seaport in the nation, an international airport, 13 minutes out of Manhattan. You have 50,000 college students here in this city. I mean, so Newark is an attractive place to be if you want to do business. And you have a business-friendly government here that's willing and is very supportive of helping people to develop their business as long as they hire Newark residents and invest in our economy locally. I mean, so to them, it's a no-brainer. You know, they're interested in doing that. It's cheaper to develop and build in Newark and invest in Newark than it is Manhattan or Hoboken or Jersey City. So people are coming here for that reason.
Right. The thing that you keep emphasizing, which a lot of mayors don't do, which a lot of politicians don't do, because for the most part they're totally in the bed with big business. Well, what I hear you constantly doing when I attend your rallies, and I've attended many of them, I tell you, boy, what a show. What a great feeling after coming from a Baraka rally, and I drive an hour and a half back, and I tell you, I put on my club music, and I'm on cloud nine. But one of the things that you do that I don't hear other politicians do, and what people in Newark should really appreciate, is that you tie development and job relocation and tax abatement to the people of Newark being hired. That's a magnificent
Absolutely.
Thing. And people really should appreciate that. Like I said, I don't see that from other politicians. You know, they're going to get taken care of, businesses are going to locate, but none of them really have any mandate or any kind of minimum that they want their citizens to be hired in these new opportunities. And I tell you, I can appreciate that with a daughter in Newark and family in Newark and friends in Newark, that they do have a mayor that's looking out for them. And like
Thank
I said,
you,
I haven't
I
seen that,
that
before. No, I haven't seen
yeah.
that before, and I'll be very honest. You know.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I
so,
appreciate that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's the truth, and it's from my heart. So... one of the things also that you've done for the city, and you've gotten criticized for it again, is when you brought a lot of the services in-house in order to save money, I believe, as well
right.
as give Newarkers jobs. So could you explain the whole theory behind bringing more jobs in-house and for Newarkers to do it themselves?
Well, I mean... first of all, some of these people have had contracts for the length of half a dozen years or more, and they've been getting emergency contracts. So there's no RFP, there's no real public process in putting a bid out, allowing companies to bid for it fairly, or they like been the only bidder on these things, which is a bit suspicious to me. They've been doing it for a very long time, and you're talking about contracts that have been anywhere from $2 million to $10 million a year, which is a huge sum of money. From cleaning up your own buildings to street sweeping. And they haven't been doing a very good job at it. So, you know, not only are we not pleased with their services, but we are spending a lot of money, probably more than we need to spend. And some of that stuff we could do ourselves. We could train our residents, lease equipment, purchase equipment, and do this stuff ourselves. And obviously, it's going to be a learning curve in the beginning, but in the long run, we benefit. We save a substantial amount of money. We put Newark residents to work. We can hold these folks to be more accountable to the outcomes of this, and we can measure it, right? We don't have to chase private companies around and get them to do what we need them to do, to clean our buildings, to shovel our snow, to sweep our streets. We have to figure out how to do those things ourselves. And if there's some things that we can't do, we'll bid out to private companies and get them to help us to supplement what we need. We don't have to get them to do the entire job. We can do the foundation of the work and supplement any work that we can't accomplish ourselves. But because we haven't done that, we've been charged all kinds of exorbitant prices. These contracts have been given to people without fair and open process and bidding, and we have been getting mediocre to poor work from these vendors. And so we are challenging that, and that is causing a lot of ire and stress for a lot of these private industries and these companies who are now at odds with us because we're deciding to do something different.
Absolutely. And it boggles my mind, because I know I've heard you say that, you know, one individual has something like 60 contracts or something, or a whole lot of contracts. How does that happen? How does one person get that kind of all those contracts? That is unbelievable.
So yeah, well, what they do is, they make themselves consultants for the company, and they navigate city politics and the landscape. They talk to council people, other folks, and they get themselves to get these contracts over and over again through emergency contracts that the city designates to them that are not really emergencies. They're the only bidder on these contracts, and they get it over a period of years. And that's what's happened. And these folks have gotten that done for themselves for a very long time, and they've been eating off of that. So I know that they're upset, because if you've been getting a piece of a $10 million contract for 10 years that suddenly disappears, not only is the vendor upset, but you're upset because the vendor can't eat, and so if the vendor can't eat, neither can you.
Right. Yeah, I know that one of those consultants is definitely financing the Gayle Cheney-Phil campaign.
Sure, and, Pablo Fonseca, absolutely.
Okay, all right, I didn't want to say his name first. But, Pablo is basically running Gayle Cheney-Phil's campaign, and I don't have a problem with him running her campaign. He's looking out for his interests. And,
sure he
and
is.
Gayle Cheney-Phil,
and it's got to be clear.
right. He's looking out for his interests. And if it takes financing Gayle and setting up Kevin and hooking him up, you know, he's fighting for, you know, for his dollars, you know. But what kills me, though, is not so much as what Pablo is doing. I understand what he's doing. What I don't understand is how Kevin Jenkins can take money from the slumlords of Garden Spires. These are people who take off their coats, act like they want to fight at debates. These are people that pretend and say that they love our people, but they take money from a slumlord that have our people living with rats and roaches and the heat soft in the winter. How unconscionable! What kind of soul? What kind of person does that? And then turn around and want to criticize other people for not caring about Norcas, but they're taking money for the very same people that are treating our people like it's a modern day version of chattel slavery. How do you deal with that, Mayor? As opponents, that these people are talking about you, but yet they're taking money from slumlords that oppress Black and brown people for years at a time without a conscience.
Well, you know, our people aren't crazy. You know, they can see what's going on. They understand what's happening. They know what the issues are. If you, first of all, it's a conflict, really, to take a contract while, you know, your wife is the councilman of that ward, take a contract from those folks who you know you're going to be at odds with. I mean, that's problematic, you know, on his face. And I think that, you know, ultimately, you know, whatever's going to come out of that is going to come out of that, you know. And I think it's completely, completely inappropriate. And obviously, if you do that as a councilman, there's no wonder you want to be the mayor. So at the end of the day, I think, look, we have been doing an incredible job with, you know, terrible odds, right? And so as the odds get better in our favor, I think we're going to do a better job. And I think the people of the city understand that and they know that. And, you know, the only people that have been running around trying to be filthy is these guys. But ultimately, I think the people will see for themselves what's happening in their own town.
Right. I tell you, just as an African-American that loves his people, as a person who has a daughter with two grandkids in Newark and family in Newark, to see somebody actually trying to get into the position and into the seat of mayor that has no conscience in terms of they would take the dirty money of a slumlord that they know are oppressing their own people is to me disgusting. And this goes beyond politics and everything. Just as a human being, I find that disgusting that you would take money from somebody that have your people living in filthy conditions and oppressive conditions.
Yes, I agree.
Okay.
All right, brother. Yes, sir.
So
I have to soon get to this campaign stuff about this school board thing today. So
thank you so much.
Because you know we're in the middle of this campaign. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And keep up the good work. I'm very glad to host you on radio show or do so in the future.
Anytime, man.
And I look forward to the results, and I look even more forward to the results of May 8th. Take care, Mayor, and enjoy the rest of your night. And victory is yours, my dear brother.
Thank you, man.
So, Rahman, Muhammad.
My brother, what's up?
Woo!
Hello?
Yes, sir.
I think y'all exposed some truth on there, huh?
Yeah. Like I said, you know, I didn't want to put him in a bad position or anything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, the truth, one thing that us Muslims know is that the truth is never out of season. You know?
Yeah, I still don't know how to get away with the whole God Inspires contract thing. I think that is, you know, and to be honest with you, that's not even the only one. To be quite truthful with you, that's probably the worst one as it pertains to conditions that residents live in. But you know, as I said to people, you know, all along, I mean, you know, you can easily ask, you know, a simple question is, you know, if he had these contracts before he became Central Ward Council person, then you know, I don't think it would be an issue. But once again, you know, these contracts came after he. Once again, got into a seat, a council seat. I think people have to question that. Like, you know, what is the significance of you being a Central councilwoman, and your husband has a contract with a building owner that you know you will be at odds with? How do you deal with that? I just don't get it. You know, the perception is not good. Even if it's not illegal, the perception is not good.
You know what? Here's the sad part, Rahman. It is not even a smart thing to do politically. I mean, it's very short-sighted, very short-term. You know, you take money and everything from a slumlord that's kicking the shit out of your people, and you know, and you're enjoying a higher level of material standards and material living. But then the day comes when you want to advance to a higher office, and then the people of Newark find out that your husband, wink, wink, is taking money from a dastardly evil slumlord that is treating your people like crap. It's not even good politically. Oh. It's not smart at all. And it is short-term thinking.
It
doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, no, it doesn't make sense. It would actually be worse if she had become mayor. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, the reality of the matter is if you think that's what's going on now, what would happen if that actually came to fruition? Can you imagine? The deals that he would have on the side while his wife is mayor. And I just think that, you know, that's just not cool. You know, it's not like I said, the perception is not good. You know, you cannot have you should be doing business with a slumlord because he is a slumlord, and you shouldn't be doing a business with a slumlord in the community while your wife is the Central Ward councilwoman of that ward. You know, I mean, it's almost like it's hush money. So when I listen to him on the propaganda show that comes on every single day, that talk about the exact same thing every day. By the way,
I don't listen to that shit.
They literally regurgitate the exact same thing every day. You can take bits and pieces of that show. And just every single day, you just put it right next to one another, and you will be listening to the same show every single day because, you know, they come up on there and it's just critical, and they have nerve, but they never say anything about that. He has Gail on there campaigning every single Monday. He never questions Gail about that. Never mentions that. He has Kevin on there. Never says anything about that. Never mentions. You know, that's just automatic. But then they call the mayor corrupt and, you know what I'm saying, all these other accusations, rumors, innuendos out there. But here's someone who actually has a contract. If Amir Tuaca had a contract with a slum lord in the city of Newark, these people would have him on the poster as the poster child for what's wrong with the city of Newark. Here's an individual that actually has the contract, and you know these folks in the opposition, they glance over that. Nothing to see here. That's just normal business. There's nothing wrong with that. That's just normal business. No, it is something wrong with that because she didn't have the contract before she became Central Ward. He got these contracts after she became Central Ward County. So what does that tell you? What does that mean? Because once again, if the goal of the contracts was to have a better living condition, then he's not doing his job. He's failing.
That's not the goal. The goal is to,
what is the contract for then? What's the contract for?
It's pay to play, brother. It's pay to play. You pay me, my wife will look out for you. That's how it is, and that's what they are. And the fact, I tell you, man, when greed comes in, and that's what it is. It's a cabal of greedy people talking shit on the show. You know, all of them are the same too, by the way, all of them.
And it's not about the
people of Newark.
You can actually pinpoint. That's really funny thing because I can pinpoint the majority of people that come over there, why they're on there, why they dislike this mayor so much. And I can tell you that all of it has nothing to do with tears because they didn't get something they want. Every single one of them. I want you to be very clear of it. The majority of them say that.
I know.
The most frequent one, I'll say that. Every single one of them is upset with this mayor because they did not get something they wanted. No different than Pablo Fonseca is the campaign manager for Gail Chandler Jenkins because the mayor took away a $10 million annual contract for a cleaning company that he was consulting for, a $2 million contract for a sweeper contract that he was consulting for, and a brokerage contract from the $150 million insurance policy that he was consulting for. Those are the only reasons. Let's just be real about that, people. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's the reason why he's there. That's the reason why he's spending money, because he's upset. So let's be very clear that if Gail do win, it's going to work for her. She's not. But if she did, just so happens, from Blue Chance to one, let's be very clear. He wants those contracts back.
Oh, he's getting them back if they win.
That's why he's doing it.
He's getting them back.
Absolutely.
He's getting them back, man. You know?
You know what I'm saying?
And,
so the deal is, like, he's not mad with the mayor for no other reason other than the fact that the mayor took away those contracts. And the mayor, listen, you survived over a decade with these contracts. You would think that some folks would say, you know what, let me look into some other business now that I can do. I understand. I ate off of this. Let me move to a different. No. Why is it that you have to be the only one to have 60 buildings under your contract, that you have to have the whole city sweeping, that you have to have the 150. Like, why is it that you have to be the only one to monopolize all of this work? Like, that's not fair to people. The mayor has a right to want other people to get be a part of that and to get some of that. And he's pushing for minorities to get that. And there's nothing wrong with that. We should do that when we control government.
Right.
We should make sure that we have an opportunity. So when I hear these people that say, nobody will ever be able to get that $10 million contract for cleaning. Brother,
They're all hypocrites, man. They're all together.
Why are we even speaking that type of negativity? Why are we trying to figure out how we could get some brothers to get a piece of that contract?
All right, Rockman, I've run out of time, brother. You know, they are who they are. They're greedy. They're in for themselves. Yeah. They talk all of this community shit. They don't give a damn about the community. They're all hungry and needy and just want to line their filthy pockets. Take care, brother. Thanks for calling in. This is Raw Talk Radio.
The Barbara Bush, man. It just came on as she passed.
Okay. Thank you, brother.
All right. Peace, bro.
See you next Wednesday, folks. Oz is Raw Talk Radio.